Thank you, Sharon Bouvernay. Very fantastic. Welcome, everyone. Hi. Good morning. Some of you were at the drum circle yesterday, and I will share something with you. Usually after a drum circle, especially one as powerful as yesterday, usually the next day, I'm going to sleep half the day. So if I start to fall asleep, somebody throw something at me and wake me up, okay? So here we are, Unity Church. So many wonderful sayings and excerpts from different prayers. And one of these lovely ladies that came up before me said, okay, we're ready, bring your wisdom. I was like, okay, no. Because it's not about me. It's not about me at all. And it's not about the regalia that I wear. It's not even about the flower in my ear. But what it is about, honestly, core essence, love. That's what it is. It's love. Unconditional love. So, that's the message. See ya. A little bit about myself. I'm originally from San Antonio, and as she said, I was very blessed to be carrying on a family tradition that was mostly carried on by women. In fact, I am the first male in either family line of my father or mother to do this kind of work. And I will share this with you, that the reason that it's mostly women is because women are so much more powerful than men energetically. So I'm here to tell you. Has anyone ever been in a sweat lodge?
Yes.
Sweat lodges. If a woman is on her moon time, they respectfully ask that the woman not enter the lodge. One woman, her energy on her moon time is so much more powerful than a lodge full of men. So there you go. But I'm also here to talk about something that's really near and dear to my heart over the last 20 years or so. Something that I co-created with Higher Source, with God, Goddess, whatever verbiage works for you. It's called Contemporary Native Earth Wisdom, CNEW. This started with somebody actually at Unity Church in San Antonio asking me if I could do a presentation for an hour and a half or so. And I said, sure. And then we had this meeting and I left and I went, what am I going to talk about for an hour and a half? Oh my God. Since that time, the actual reverse has happened. Now, I mean, I've got 20 minutes here today. And part of my choice was, what can I narrow down, filter down into 20 minutes? So this is what we have. So Contemporary Native Earth Wisdom is taking wisdom from indigenous cultures around the world. The definition of wisdom for our purposes is anything that has been shared, conceived, thought, dreamt, sung, played, and is as relevant now as whenever it was first coming to someone's consciousness. So I'll start with this excerpt from a book very near and dear to my heart, Masters of Living Energy, The Mystical World of the Quero in Peru. Quote, our work here as humans, end quote, says fourth level Andean Paco Juan Nunez del Prado, is to have a complete life, to have a relationship with Mother Earth, to have a real relationship with everything in the world, with everything. We can have a real relationship with everything because everything, including ourselves, has kawsay, that's K-A-W-S-A-Y, kawsay, the vital animating energy of existence. According to Juan, not only the trees, the rivers, and the mountains have kawsay, but even the Empire State Building had its own power. The problem is how to establish a good relationship with that person, place, or object. Juan's use of the word power raises an important point for Westerners, for all Westerners, not just those of us living in the mythical relationship of the universe. In the Western tradition, we are afraid of the word power. We think that the word power is dangerous, that it is not good. But no, power is only power. It's the difference between being able to do something and not being able to do it. If you want, you can do good things. If you want, you can do bad things. Because for that, you also need power. If you want to do good things in your life, in the lives of those around you, you must have power. You need power. But power is only power, he stresses. You must decide how to use it, not based on your ability to use it, but based on moral rule. Sometimes you will not do something because you don't have the power to do it, but because you follow a moral rule that tells you not to do it. On the other hand, there are people who are prevented from acting not because of their moral rule, but because they do not have the power to do it. They have no choice. Understand? The thing is to have the power to do everything. Then the next thing is to have the personal morals to know how to use or not use your power. But do not be mistaken. We are looking for power when we try to establish a connection with the living energy. Take a moment, please. Take a nice, slow, deep breath and slow exhale. This flute is a Lakota flute, and it is tuned to the heart energy. I want to play for just a little bit and further kind of set my intention. So if you bear with me. Gratitude to this flute. I also brought along a couple of friends. This is a shaman stone, and its properties are basically that it helps to enhance abilities that we all have. And this is a white quartz crystal. This was gifted to me a long time ago. And this I have named the Mother Crystal, because on this one side it has one large crystal, and on the other side it's filled with dozens, if not hundreds, of small, tiny crystals, the babies. And it was given to me by a woman who was in Austin, Texas, a while back, and long story short, she was working at the place I was working at part-time to get enough money to return home because her husband was dying of cancer. And I befriended her, and so right before she left, she gave me that stone. So it has a lot of meaning for me. That's part of what we're talking about, what I'm talking about with contemporary Native Earth wisdom, is the connection with everything, with everyone, without exception. The saying, "Oho metakwiasin," means to all my relations. That means that I are connected to everything. This has been known for centuries, and I love it. As I said yesterday in the drum circle, I love it when science catches up with the old ways, because scientists tell us now that we are molecules, atoms, we are all these different vibrations creating and making up solid matter. So we have this relationship with everything. So that is it's a responsibility. And it doesn't really matter whether or not we acknowledge it, because it's there. Have you ever had a scenario where you were in a group of people and someone walks into the room and they are just bubbling over with enthusiasm and happiness and joy and zeal, and they're just like, "Hi!" And within a couple of minutes, the room starts to buzz. There starts to be talk, conversation, lightheartedness. Same scenario. Somebody walks into a room, and they are just livid. They are mad. And they don't even say anything. They're so angry. They just sit there, just like. Within a few minutes, the room's going to change. Without that person saying anything, the room is going to change because there is just this connection. So the choice then in this is not whether or not we believe that there is a connection. How do we want to connect with each other? As I mentioned, contemporary Native Earth wisdom, I'm drawing wisdom from all around the globe. Go back to the 4th century Ming Dynasty, Lao Tzu, from The Way of Life. Those who are unafraid to say they do not know become wise. Those who insist they know never learn. Those who pay attention to their weaknesses gain strength. Those who neglect their strength become weak. Wisdom and strength come from the courage to see things as they are. Wisdom. It's wisdom. From the elders of Orabi, the Arizona Hopi Nation. "You've been telling people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell the people that this is the hour. And there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in right relation? Where is your water? Know your garden. It's time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other. Don't look outside yourself for the leader. This could be a good time. There is a river flowing now very fast. It's so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are being torn apart, and they will suffer greatly. Know the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep our eyes open and our heads above water. See who is in there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are taking nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves, banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we've been waiting for." Talking about sacred spaces, this hall is a sacred space. This planet is a sacred space. There are different parts of our planet that there are ley lines and grids. You can get real deep into all this real quickly and talk about portals and doorways and such. And that's all relevant and it's all true. But who is to say that any place that I step, any place that I focus my attention is not a sacred space? Maybe if we consider everything in our world and everyone in our world to be sacred, that's a pretty good connection. And that's a connection I want to be part of. And that's part of why I'm here today. on part of the introduction, they were talking about intuition. Contemporary Native Earth Wisdom, one of the tenets of this work, is about intuition. And intuition, in what I've learned and what I know, intuition is a muscle just like your heart, just like your bicep. Intuition can be flexed, it can be honed, and it can be your greatest ally. Back in the days when we were living in caves and we'd stick our head out the cave and look and go, okay, there's no saber-toothed tigers or whatever. We'd go out and hunt and forage. And as that was happening, suddenly you get this feeling. I don't know what's going on, but I better hide. And that person hides. And just as they hide, they realize why they were hiding. Some creature or something was coming around looking for its food. And that person may have been that creature's food. And they said, okay, well, whew, that was close. How many of you have ever had a moment of intuition in your life where you start to do something or you contemplate doing something, and then that little voice goes, maybe you should reconsider? How many of you guys have experienced that? Me too. How many times have you listened to that little voice and later on gone, how many times have you not listened to that little voice and be in that place of, oh, man, if I had just, I heard it, I thought about it, I didn't, but I did. A lot of this has to do with relationship. Relationship not only with each other, not only with your community, not only with Pachamama, Mother Earth, but the very first relationship, the relationship in here, in the heart. From here to here, from here to here. Are you folks familiar with Heart Math? Heart Math, incredible program. And I do believe 100% that the heart has a brain, that the brain has a heart, and the soul is the connection. And all of this works together in concert or not. Sometimes, and I'm here to tell you folks, I'm right up there. There have been so many choices, so many opportunities that I've had, and many times I've taken the right road, many times I've taken the wrong road. One thing about being buffalo, if I am thinking that I'm on the right path, I take a step back, turn my head slightly, and move forward. Straight ahead. Nothing's going to get in my way, and I go exactly to where I need to. The downside to being buffalo is if I'm on the wrong road, I take a step back, turn my head, go straight forward. But such is life, you know. And when those moments happen, again, we're talking about authenticity, we're talking about relationship. From yourself to yourself. You can definitely beat yourself up for doing the wrong thing. You can, in my mind, the worst critic is ourself. I know as musicians, I'm a musician as well, and I know that sometimes I'll have played a gig and everybody's like, oh man, that was awesome, and I'm thinking, no, that one part where I missed the rhythm, I missed the beat, you guys don't understand. You know? It happens. We're human beings. And we're human beings that have freedom of choice, free will. So, part of this is about being able to choose properly. Use your intuition. There are so many different ways that we have been systematically programmed to not use our intuition. We're in a microwave society. Everything has to be quick or quicker. And if there's something faster, that's great. Look at medicine for a moment. I don't watch TV. I haven't watched TV in years. But still on the internet, Facebook, etc. And the newest, latest, greatest, oh, you can lose weight without exercising. Just take this pill. You'll be fine. That knee-jerk reaction, oh, I want to lose weight. Yeah, I'm going to go take this pill. And then after a while, you start feeling really weird and you're going, oh, wait a minute. My liver doesn't feel so good. My kidneys don't feel, my back is. Then the next thing is commercials. If you have taken XYZ pill in the last 6 or 8 months and you've experienced blah, 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 including death, call us now. We'll get the money that you deserve. Wait, no, we meant we'll get you the money that you deserve. See? So within that little analogy that makes us all laugh, it's also, there also is that connection. And it's not a right connection because you have someone who did a knee-jerk reaction and did something that they possibly might not have done if they had thought about it and used their intuition. And then you have somebody else who's coming along with an opportunity to capitalize, to profit on that wrong action. And the chain reaction starts. I was talking to somebody the other day about, for instance, money, finances. And this is actually a real story from my life. A few years back, I had about $7,000 I wanted to invest. And so I called up an investment broker. The guy met me at Central Market, really nice guy, whipping out all this paperwork and flyers and brochures, and we can put you in this stock and this stock, we'll put your portfolio together, blah, blah, blah. And I said, great. And I said, no, I just need to tell you something. And he said, sure, what's that? I said, I want to make sure that whatever I invest in, it has no ties with third world sweatshops. It has no ties being a major polluter on the planet. It has no ties with oppression or a dictatorship. You would have thought I took my hand and just smacked him across the face. He was packed. Oh, I'm really sorry. Oh my gosh. I had a meeting. I totally forgot about it. And I really have to go to this meeting. But here's my card. And give me a call. And we'll set something up. Great. Boom. Boom. He's out. We give our money to investors to invest for us. But do we ask the questions about where we're earning our money from? That's part of the relationship, is being conscious about everything, every step of the way. With regard to the planet, every part of this earth is sacred to my people. And this is also part of Chief Seattle's speech, by the way, another speech. Every sandy shore, every mist in the dark woods, every clearing and humming insect is holy in the memory and experience of my people. The sap which courses through the trees carries the memories of the red man. We are part of the earth, and it is part of us. The perfume flowers are our sisters, the deer, the horse, the great eagle. These are our brothers. The rocky crests, the juices in the meadows, the body heat of the pony and man all belong to the same family. This land is sacred to us. This shining water that moves in the streams and the rivers is not just water, but the blood of our ancestors. Remember that it is sacred, and you must teach your children that it is sacred. The rivers are our brothers, they quench our thirst. The rivers carry our canoes and feed our children. The rivers are our brothers and yours, and you must henceforth give the rivers the kindness you would give any brother. And what is there to life if a man cannot hear the lonely cry of the whippoorwill or the arguments of the frogs around the pond at night. I'm a red man and do not understand. The Indian prefers the soft sound of the wind darting over the face of a pond and the smell of the wind itself, cleansed by a midday rain or scented with pinyon pine. The air is precious to the red man. The air is precious to all of us. The air is precious to the red man, for all things share the same breath. The beast, the tree, the man, they all share the same breath. The wind that gave our grandfather his first breath also received his last sigh. Land must be kept sacred as a place where all the people can go to taste the wind that is sweetened by the meadow's flowers. So many different ways we connect with each other. So many different aspects and avenues. How am I doing on time? Doing good. This weekend has been absolutely amazing for me. I hosted a drum circle yesterday here. A few days before that, I got an email from Wimberley Radio, and I was on Wimberley Radio on Friday, and here I am today. And I am humbled, and I am grateful. When we are in right connection, things seem to just flow, just like the water, just like the river. One of my friends wrote this poem, and I'm going to read it. It's very, very powerful. Her name is Rebecca Clark. The poem is called "You Are Loved." I don't care what you've done in your life. You are loved. I don't care what mistakes you've made. You are loved. I don't care if this world tells you that you're failing. You're not. You are loved. I do care that you're hurting, overwhelmed, struggling, but still fighting. I will fight with you and for you. You are loved. I don't care if you're addicted, relapsed, lost, struggling. You're loved. You are a miracle creation, a thing of beauty, goodness, and amazing grace. You are loved. You are vivid, ever-changing, never-ending colors as far as the eye can see. A perfect angel's song with an exquisite melody like honey to the ears. You are art, creation, every single bit of glory. Heaven and earth tangled up and wrapped in flesh and blood. You are loved. Never let anything fool you into believing anything that opposes that. Anything else is a liar whispering in your ear. Anything else is a thief sent to steal your joy and hope. Anything else is the devil on your shoulder wanting to feed your pain and destroy your beautiful soul. You are not those things. You may be stuck in those feelings and their claws may be digging in, but you are, in fact, a world of infinite possibilities, overflowing joy, hope, and promise. The closer you get to your potential, the more voices you will hear that oppose you, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that threatens evil and indifference. When you can't see it, how close you are to reaching all the amazing things, your strength, your own beauty, your goodness. We all still can. And it's why we're here, to help you find your way back. You are loved. Don't hide the war inside yourself. Show your heart so that we can lift each other up and walk through it alongside anyone who needs it. When you can't see it, still know you are loved. Nothing is worth missing the incredible things you will see, experience, and discover because you are made of those things. And so many of us will help you through the darkness. Because believe me, despite our flaws, mistakes, setbacks, and pain, we all have them, every single one of us. You are loved. That was by Rebecca Clark. Home at Taquias. I asked her if it was okay to share this poem. And I asked her if it was okay to share what she wrote to me afterwards. This poem was written because someone that she knew took their own life. And she was not, she felt, able to connect with them quick enough and soon enough. Everything happens for a reason. And love and blessings to that person. So while we're alive, while we're breathing, while we're standing, while we're sitting, we have freedom of choice and free will. It's up to us. We can do anything that we need to do, anything that needs to be done, we can do, and we can do it well. This is a Native American prayer. O Great Spirit, whose voice I hear in the wind and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. I come before you, one of your many children. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made. My ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise so that I may know the things you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek the strength not to feed superiors, not to feel superior to my brothers and sisters, yet be able to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me ever ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes, so when life fades as a sunset, my spirit will come to you without shame. There's so much that can be done. There's so much that needs to be done. And there's so much that will be done. One way or another. It's up to each one of us to make that choice for ourselves. And, as I said earlier, if we're at the crossroads and we choose one path over the other, and it's not the right path, choose again. It's just that simple. Choose again. Be strong in your heart. Be strong in your mind. Do your very best. Some of the things that have crossed my mind with revising this work is trying to keep things fresh and updated. And so hopefully there will be more coming soon. In the meantime, everyone, love and blessings. Thank you. Oho metakwe asan. Hey, Wani, watch your loyal hokahe. I threw that one at you. Hey, Wani, watch your loyal means I want to live. Hokahe means it's a good day to die. And if you put these two together, it's a complete circle. Live your life as if it were your last day. Do your best. And when it comes time to meet Creator, hopefully there'll be no regrets. Thank you so much.